The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
First of all, it's a great pleasure to welcome to the program the first councillor for Anglesey, or the councillor that's still left, Margot Smith. How are you, Margot?
Thank you, Mitch. I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. So, as we know, Anglesey Ward has two representatives. One has resigned. You're continuing on.
I am.
How is council going at the moment? What are the dynamics like? Because we've also had another resignation in one of the Winchelsea Ward councillors. That's gone to account back. So, potentially, you've got two new councillors coming in.
Look, it's going pretty well. James McIntyre came on at the beginning of July, and we've had him at briefings. He's had his first meeting. It's actually good to have a second councillor there in Winchelsea, and because there's a lot goes on in that area, and there's a lot of different communities. So having another voice there, he's from Gerang, so he's actually being able to put those perspectives forward, and we're really working hard with him. And he's adopted a really good approach to his induction, and so it's great to see.
Does it change the dynamics at all having two new councillors? Because there have been some media reports about whether the councillors get along or not.
Look, you know, in life, I think we all have people that we gravitate to and some that we don't. But I think, without a doubt, the council group that we've got there is there to actually do the best they can for the community. And sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree, but most of the time, in fact, all of the time, we respect other opinions and differences.
So this by-election, you've got six different candidates running. Have any of them come and spoken to you about what it's like to be the councillor for Anglesey?
Oh, yeah, I've spoken to a few people as part of it, not all of them, but, you know, they're all there, they're all enthusiastic, and I think the Anglesey community is... Anglesey Areas, Fairhaven are spoilt for choice.
What's it like having people that are, you know, new and enthusiastic coming in versus yourself? You've been around for a couple of terms. You've seen how it all works. You're very experienced by comparison.
Look, it's always good to actually remember how you felt when you came in. And I go back to sort of the things that I felt that I needed to learn, and the things that how to find out what's important to people's lives here in this ward. And so drawing on that experience, I think, is important. It's also one of those things. It's trying to actually harness enthusiasm, and if people are looking and picking apart certain things that you might have done, it's always good to sort of reflect on why you did that and not be defensive about particular decisions or particular approaches, because I think the more voices and the more we get to talk about things, the better off our decisions will be.
How does the relationship work between you and the other councillor representing Anglesey Ward? Because we know from the state government that there's been this whole debate triggered about whether it's better to have single council awards or multi-council awards. Do you think it works well having two people representing the same patch, or in some cases three?
Oh, look, it'll be... I think for us as a council, the way that we've actually got things set up, we've got four in Torquay, two in Winch, two in Anglesey and one in Lawn. I think that gives good representation across the particular areas. With Libby, we were both involved in a lot of things right across, sort of between Fairhaven and Anglesey. And she had more intimate knowledge about what was going on in Aries Inlet, because that's where she lived. And for myself, I probably knew a lot more about day-to-day things in Anglesey. And bringing that together just makes it a bit of sharing the information just gets to a better...
It's quite. I mean, it's called Anglesey, but obviously the actual ward extends beyond Anglesey. We've got
it
a map up on our website, mitchellsfrontpage.com/Anglesey.
Yeah.
And people can see it goes right round the back and, as you say, down to Fairhaven.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So, other state government proposed reforms. There's talking about local government reform. How do you think local government works at the moment? Are there any reforms needed?
Look, we've put in proposals in terms of what we think should happen. We're not, as I mentioned before, we're not that actually keen on the single member wards. But we do actually, there's a lot of things that we think it could be, it does actually provide benefit, I think, to the community to have multi-people. It might work for metropolitan, some some other councils, but we don't feel it get the best outcome here. And we also had the instance in Geelong and in the review there. The other thing that it's talked about that we support quite strongly is around mandatory training for councillors to actually undergo a level of training and know what they're actually going to get, know what they're getting into, and I think that's particularly important.
Did you do any training or did you undertake anything to try and prepare when you first ran?
I had, I came from a background of business, and one of the key training things that's offered is the Australian Institute of Company Directors, and a lot of councillors do that. I had already done that in the previous 2 years to when I stood, and so I thought that was a great benefit. I do actually think there's a lot more in the planning side of things and the way meetings are, and I attended as much training as I possibly could when I got in.
Yep.
But the options to go to that before I got in were not there.
Yeah, I see. Were there any particular skills that you thought you learned at the company director, just things like governance, etc.?
Things like governance and risk, understanding risk, and also sort of dealing with, you know, the change within organisations and ensuring, I come from a strong financial accounting background.
Yep.
And so that is always considered, I always find that really important in terms of assessment of where budgets are. And it is a little bit different in council versus business about what you do, because you're here with the community's money doing things, whereas with business it's shareholders and you're actually trying to get a profit to give back, whereas we're actually trying to wisely spend.
So moving on to some of the issues for Anglesey Ward, one of the things that's really struck me going through this process and having the opportunity for people to put in questions on the website, I think it shows that people are very passionate about their community and trying to retain what they like, as well as talking about improvements. What have been some of the big issues of late?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues has been the Alcoa land.
Yep.
And we've gone through a process now which has got the state government has adopted the future land use plan, which is an important step. And then in the last couple of months, the Eden project, which is a pretty exciting project to actually be thinking about coming into our area. And just in the last week, they released the feedback on that. And the feedback has been quite very supportive of the concept. Query about the traffic and the impact on our town, and also the water body. But I'd also sort of draw on a couple of other developments that have been proposed in our area in the last 6 months or so. And I think one of the things that community members have realised is the importance of actual documents and plans that talk to the nature and the type of buildings and streetscapes that we want around our town, and the fact that these documents have actually given us guidelines to be able to say that this development is not appropriate. That refers to the motel site and also to the old hardware store site.
I see. The smokestack, should it go? Should it stay?
Look, you know,
that's been a question that's
it is a big question, and really, if there is a really good concept for it to be there and stay, it can stay, but otherwise it should go. Yeah.
Have we seen any such concept?
No.
There's been talk about lookout towers and that type of thing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether lookout towers is the right sort of thing. I stand on the 14th tee on the golf course and I use the stack to line up. But I think I could probably line up without the stack.
Surfco Sharon SKM, has that affected how we recycle down here?
It certainly has. So SKM has been taking our recycling, and our position at the moment now is that the recycling is having to go to landfill. We've put a lot of information out to people in the community about how they can reduce the amount that's going to landfill, and also with taking some sorted recyclables at the landfill here at Anglesey. I myself at home, I've sort of set up, I'm only a one-person home, so
yes,
it's easy for me,
yep.
But I've set up my little boxes. I've sorted things out in there, and I'm trying to actually minimise what I put in to that to my landfill bin.
So you've got like boxes for what? Cardboard, aluminium, glass.
Yep, plastics. Yeah.
And then where do you take those? Is there a transfer facility nearby?
Well, Mitch, I haven't got to the situation where they're too big to actually take anywhere.
Okay. You're not putting out that much waste.
I'm not putting out that much waste. I try and reduce it, you know, use as little as I possibly can, you know, if there's alternatives. Yes.
Mm. So do you have the three bin system down here on the Surf Coast, I'm assuming, same as Geelong?
We do, but we in here in the Anglesey community, we have the food organics. So we've got little kitchen bins that we can actually put our food waste in, and that then goes into our green waste bin.
So the yellow bin, the recycling one, what should people put in there?
Well, they should put as little as possible in there. If they can actually sort out their cardboards and their metals, they can now be taken to the Anglesey Transfer Station, and I think we're working on other solutions which will come out fairly soon.
And do we have a sense on how much it costs if you want to take a load down to the transfer station? Do you have to pay to get in, I'm guessing?
You do if you're taking a big load, but if you've just got something that's a sort of small box or you know, a box of paper and metals, I don't think you'll get a charge. But again, we'll be putting out information around that and confirming it.
We'll wait and see. The Surf Coast Arts Trail, I believe you're going digital now.
We are, which is pretty fabulous, actually. Yes, so that's on this coming weekend, and it's bigger and again, and we're looking forward to actually seeing lots of artists. We've got 160 artists in 54 venues. And, I think it's going to be a great weekend. It's one of those things that you can't get to everything, so you've got to actually pick where you'll go.
So how do you get the digital information? Is it on the Surf Coast website, or how do we find it?
Yeah, I believe it's on the website, and all of the details are actually there on the website. You can also pick up, if you prefer to just use a map, you can pick up the maps from the Torquay office and the visitor information.
And I've heard it's pretty widely spread. Are there any particular highlights for you personally?
Well, of course, all the ones in Anglesey. I'd have to. I start my trail by walking down the street to the Solly family, who have a great little studio out the back of their house, and it's always a good way to actually start. But and Cinnamon Stevens has got another one in Anglesey. It's got a great spot there. But there's all sorts of great other ones around the place. And actually, if you're looking around the shopping centre today, you'll see some of Cinnamon's artwork on the lampposts.
Oh, excellent. Mm. Oh, just starting to rain out there now, a bit
That's
dreary.
That's right, yeah.
And just last of all, on the weekend we had the Sound Doctor Presents. We've spoken to the Sound Doctor a few times about the intimate musical events that they have down here. It's always an exciting time.
Yes. Oh, look, I just I can't believe how good that the venue is, and the performances that the Sound Doctor gets for us. So this last weekend we had Emily Werewonga, I'm sure I have pronounced her name incorrectly, and Alice Skye, Werramara. This was on Saturday night. Yep. I didn't actually go to the Friday night one, but the Saturday night one, and they were young Indigenous women that spoke, that sang their own songs they'd written, and the stories that they told on that. It was just beautiful.
Was that a cappella, or did they have?
No, they had. They had. So Emily plays guitar.
Ah.
Alice is on piano, and she has backup twins. Told us first off when they came out, she said, "Oh, just save you thinking all the way through. They're identical twins."
So they'd written their own music.
They had written their own music.
Life struggles. What's happening?
Yeah,
here?
Life struggles. Bit of love. Bit of childhood. Bit of Emily had this wonderful song about her mother's place, her grandmother's place. And it was just beautiful to hear. And I think, you know, as us as as non-Indigenous, it's really important that we actually listen to these songs and uncover the truth and the stories and listen to their stories.
Excellent. Well, just last of all, a few of the candidates are already here. What's your piece of advice for the candidates that are here today to compete or to speak in this group interview we've got a bit later on? And obviously one of them will be successful. What's your piece of advice for them?
Look, is sort of enjoy things as much as they can, listen to people as much as they can, and good luck through the process. So I must say that standing for council has been one of the most confronting things I've ever done in my whole life. You're putting yourself out there as like a job interview that the public's deciding on. But once you get through it, it can be pretty good.
Well, Councillor, thanks for being with us. Much appreciated. And we'll catch up sometime soon.
Yep, thanks.
Councillor Margot Smith there.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.